Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. All right, we are here with a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime podcast with me, your host, AP Fuchs. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I got the floofy beard going because I just had a shower before recording. So everything's all loose and going everywhere. So you can come and look and laugh and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning in this week. This is great. We're basically, like I said last week, we're halfway through the season. So this is really cool. We're having a lot of fun so far. And the story that's going to be coming up, you guys are going to love it because it's a superhero tale, but not in the way you'd expect. So let's put it that way. So it's kind of like a, let's say a Watchmen-esque, keyword-esque tale. And I hope you appreciate it when we get there. And in fact, actually, I'm going to talk about something in the story before the story that will lead into what we're doing. And I'm going to have to be very careful in this segment of story before the story because I want to touch on something that could potentially be perceived as controversial and or disrespectful, and I don't want to go that route, so I'll throw my disclaimers up. Anyway, point is, it's time to get into story before the story. Let's go. Welcome to Story Before the Story. Now, for this week's segment on stories making up our real lives, I want to touch on something because it's going to feed into the story to come. But I want to be very clear, very, very clear. Okay, I am not at all trying to be disrespectful or controversial or anything that would be perceived as negative. I want to get to the point of what I'm trying to say to demonstrate again. Stories are everything. So I want to make that point clear. This is not at all done out of disrespect. And in fact, I could potentially have permission to talk about this because my grandfather suffered from the same issue. And I'm going to talk about dementia and Alzheimer's. And I'm going to briefly touch on it. And it's very simple. Obviously, we have people in our lives who have this illness. And it's sad and it's tragic. And it's really unfortunate as we watch these folks slowly slip until eventually... Hopefully they manage, but usually not, and it's too bad. But so my grandfather was in that boat, and likewise my friend's grandmother. And I wanted to tell this little story. I was over at my friend's house, and this will feed into what we're going into. And I was helping out, and his grandma had dementia, and she was on the couch, kind of half asleep, just sort of being there. And then suddenly she was striking up a full-blown conversation, eyes closed, but she was talking to somebody, and we kind of listened a little bit, but at the same time, continue with her task. But as she was going on and on and on, we kind of put together that she was talking to somebody that she knew way back in the 60s, and as far as she was concerned, the event was happening right then and there, right? And what I find amazing about that, and this is, there's all kinds of stories, right, where people, are living out past events, as they have this illness. And I feel horrible about it because, of course, your timelines are all screwed up in your head. But at the same time, and I'm not a neurologist, I'm not a brain guy in terms of the medical side of stuff, obviously, but it's amazing that, when you're in that state, when things are not working, when you're not, with the present, you're able to still tell yourself stories. You're going back in time in your life and you're drawing on them in a way that, those of us who do not have the illness, we can't do that. We can't go back to, let's just say 1985 and relive an entire day in perfect clarity. That doesn't happen, right? But when these folks, when you're ill like that, somehow the brain is able to do that and able to manifest these events that occurred. And, as a fan of history, I do find listening to discussions just for the sake of interest, but I find it fascinating that your mind still finds a way to tell a story, even in a diseased state. And that's the point, is the brain goes somewhere to help itself deal with the illness that it has. And it does it with a story. And it's great. in that context. But yeah, so again, I just wanted to touch on that, just simply that, you know, it's really sad that these events happen, but at the same time, it's very interesting that we go to stories if you had that illness, you know? And yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. I've heard so many stories and people talking about stuff that happened 2 years ago and they think it happened yesterday. Like, it's interesting. You know, I feel bad and you have to correct. And there's always those sad stories that come along where, you know, you have to retell somebody that somebody's passed on, for example, or things like that, you know, to get them back to the present and then they forget for next time. And that's really sad. And I really hope, you know, for my own parents that it never happens. But again, the story aspect, the fact that the brain goes to story mode, I think that's interesting. And I think that's probably built into some sort of mental survival mechanism. But again, I am not a doctor. I'm not a brain guy. I'm just taking a wild guess. But again, we can't deny that stories do indeed occur when someone is ill that way. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that sort of phenomena of life that, you know, even in our worst times, in our horrible states, physical or mental, or, and usually physical problems come with having dementia and all the rest, your brain goes to story mode. And that's fascinating. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that, like somebody who knows what they're talking about, to see why that is. So anyway, thanks for tuning into this little story before the story, because what I just mentioned kind of teases a little bit of what's to come. So get ready for the story. Delusional? Listen and find out. Delusional? Lance Davis was plain old crazy. He had to be. He was one of those guys who sat at the end of the bar, and if you got close enough for him to notice you, he'd scoot over and start telling you about his life. I know, because I was that guy. One of many, and more than once too. Everyone at Dave's bar knew to let Lance keep to himself and let him just stare into his mug of beer and shot of whiskey and, well, leave him well enough alone. But sometimes the bar got crowded, and sometimes you wanted to sit at the bar and order your rounds head on instead of waiting for a waitress to come by your table. Sometimes you needed to stare into your own beer. So there I was, Friday night, crawling off a 14-hour shift and into a beer glass, sitting next to Lance. The dude was in his late 60s, possibly early 70s. Doesn't matter. Lance was old, so I suppose I should cut him a little slack if he wanted to ramble. You know, the lonely old man thing. You remember what I told you, right? Lance said. His bright hazel eyes stared into mine. Trust no one. This world is changing in ways you can't possibly comprehend. Guard up. Everyone is suspect. Everyone is a suspect. I remember, I said. It was a partial truth, what with Axiom Man flying around and Red Saw causing trouble in ways the world was never equipped to handle. But to trust no one? To give everyone a second glance? A second pondering? I didn't want to become constantly paranoid and live in fear. That's no way to live life, which was hard enough on its own, never mind adding guys in capes and frightening powers to the mix. Axiom Man made a mistake, Lance said. He came out to the public. He showed himself. I told you this before. He would have been better off operating in secret, like I did. There it was. I was waiting for it. See, Lance thought he used to be a superhero back in the 50s and into the early 80s. I asked him once what he called himself, and he said he never gave himself a name. Code names are for pansies, he'd said. Guys who crave attention so need to be called something for the papers. I never did that. I stayed in the shadows, the dark, no name, just a black costume, a simple one. Black suit and tie, full face black mask, and a fedora. Black gloves, too, because fingers leave fingerprints. But no name. Names give you existence, make you a real person. I wasn't sure if I agreed with that assessment, but I understood what he was getting at. This world's going to bloody hell and nobody's noticing, he said. I took a sip of my cold beer. I disagree. I think they are noticing, but don't know what to do about it, so are looking to others like Axiom Man to handle the problem for them. Do you really think the guy's powerful enough to stop what's coming? Which is? Lance's voice went down to a whisper. War. Humans versus, what do they call them now? Metahumans? Well, there's around 7.5 billion of us with armies of various sizes, and only a few of those with special powers. Actually, so far as I was aware, It was just Axie Man I read saw. If there were any others, I hadn't heard of them yet. I found it also strange Lance was telling everyone all this despite his previous assertion heroes operated in secret. Perhaps now, he believed, it wasn't time for secrets. Not for him, anyway. They'll come for me, you know, Lance said. It's inevitable. I'll be found out. He took his whiskey back in one go, then chased it with a gulp of beer. All I did was press my lips together and took in the bar. Every seat was taken, the waitresses scrambling about to get drink orders, the bartender barely keeping it together to handle the work they gave him. If I was younger, maybe, just maybe, I'd join the fight, Lance said. The war? Couldn't believe I was entertaining this. All war. There wasn't a bullet that couldn't stop me, no knife that could pierce this rawhide skin of mine. He showed me his wrinkled and leathery hands as if to prove the point. Poor Lance. I had gotten other snippets of his life. Divorced early, second wife died, two of his kids committed suicide, and one disowned him because he kept going on and on about heroic glory days that he could never prove. I think he lived in that superhero fantasy of his to salvage what he thought was a waste of a life. I thought maybe, perhaps, I'd do the same if everything had gone wrong for me too. Lance signaled to the bartender for another shot. I copied him, raising my finger without meaning to. Wasn't in the mood for anything hard. Oh well. Just be careful, son, Lance said. I've told nearly everybody in here to be careful. Most just laughed. Everyone thinks they're invincible until they're in real trouble. Just wait. You'll see. Things will go haywire and everyone will panic. A shotgun blast made me jump in my seat and the crowd in the room let out a collective yelp. Two guys in ski masks stood by the door. All right, everyone stay where you are and this will be over real quick, one of the masked men said. I looked to the bartender. He already had his hands up in surrender. I looked to Lance. He had his lips around the rim of his glass, sipping back what was left of his beer. Don't move, the other guy in the mask said. He pointed his weapon this way and that. One of them came up to the bar, the other covering his partner, weapon trained on the room. I knew other guys in the bar were packing, and I hoped to God the place would light up in a gunfight. Cash, now, quick, the one gunman told the bartender. Sure, the bartender said, and immediately went for the register. I saw a couple of guys stir in their chairs, reaching into their leather jackets. Please, I thought, no guns. It'll be a bloodbath otherwise. I looked to Lance. He held his empty beer glass aloft, as if inspecting it, then slowly turned it face down on the bar. Once he set it down, he stood from his seat. Sit down, the guy controlling the room said. Lance didn't say a word. Oh no, Lance, don't, I thought. You're just a crazy old man. You're gonna die real quick. I hoped Axie Man would show up and put an end to this. The doors remained closed. No hero in a blue cape. Not kidding, old man. One more step and you're done, the gunman said. Hurry up, his partner shouted at the bartender. The bartender scrambled to get all the cash from the register, dropping bills to the floor in his panic. Lance took that extra step. The shotgun went off. Lance's shirt blew apart, and he kept walking. The gunman stood stunned. I think my heart stopped. Lance calmly walked up to him and ripped the shotgun from the guy's grasp. He swung it like a baseball bat to the guy's head and the man dropped. His partner turned and fired at Lance point blank, and Lance kept walking. He stepped up to the gunman at the bar and punched him in the nose and kicked him in the shin. He grabbed the man's gun and brought it down like a battle axe to the top of the guy's head. My heart might not have started beating again, I wasn't sure. Lance looked back at me. His shirt was blown open, revealing old, leathery skin that was completely undamaged except for some scorch marks from the blasts. He mouthed me the word, war. Then, without looking at anyone else, headed for the door, leaving the rest of us catching our breath. I was sure my heart started beating again because this time I felt its pulse all the way into my fingertips. Lance opened the door and stepped into the night and into the shadows. Thank you. As always, thank you for sticking around till after the credits for a brief announcement. Today, during Story Before the Story, we talked about, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, mental illnesses like that. And I just want to simply put out the call to say, you know, if you know of a good cause that supports research in those areas, if you know of good charities or, you know, or good organizations that really, you know, put their nose to the pedal and, or nose to the grindstone rather, you could drive with the nose to the pedal, I suppose. But yeah, the point is, places that take this stuff, you know, seriously, and they go the distance and stuff. And if you want to throw a few bucks their way, I would encourage that. This is a call for charity, for donation, to help combat an illness that affects so many people, and not just the people themselves, but also the people around them, because it's very difficult as well for the onlookers to see a person degrade in such a way. So yeah, if you're able to, please find something, and, you know, even if it's $5, throw it that way. It's worth it, because the more we get together and work on these problems, perhaps some point in the future, we will find a solution. You know, or even at the minimum, you know, some really hard, concrete answers as to why. And then from there, we could do the problem solving thing. So, yeah, this is a call to charity. Go donate. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Storytime. Peace out.